Morning, everyone. Today's daf in Erev and daf Tzadiches, 98. We have a little bit left to do from yesterday's daf. Yesterday's daf Tzadi Zion took us through a discussion about, again, a continuation in the 10th perek of the sugya of tefillin, of carrying out tefillin. And so what we discussed yesterday was the end of that Mishnah, where the Mishnah said that on Shabbos you find tefillin out in the street, so you can carry them either one pair at a time, machlokes between the Tanakhama versus Rabbi Gamliel. We spent a lot of time dissecting the machlokes between the two of them, gave a number of suggestions, and then the end of the Mishnah talked about what happens if you find a whole bunch of them. Matzam Tzvasayim, says the Mishnah, if you find them bundled together. Oh, krichos, or it's a whole big pile together. So then, marshei chalayim. So the Mishnah says, you just sit over there and you wait until nightfall, and then v'sakana. Now, if it's danger, machsan v'holechlo. So then, you just simply cover it and you go on your way. We talked yesterday in terms of what exactly the danger was. It was a danger to you. Was a danger to the tefillin. We discussed that yesterday. And then the Mishnah brought in the position, Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon says that you can do the fireman's ladder, where you can give it to your friend and your friend to your friend, until you get to the outer chatzar. And the same thing is true with Beno. The same thing is true with your son as well, meaning you can carry your son. As we learned in yesterday's Gemara, the Mishnah is talking about a newborn son. Your wife just gave birth out in the field, and she we're trying to get the child from the field to the house, and we don't want to violate the Isser of Hotzah, of carrying. So what do we do? Fireman's ladder. The Gemara noted yesterday, it's going to be a little bit difficult. We're going to have so many people handling the newborn, but the Gemara says, okay, you'll have a lot of people handling the newborn, but at least you won't be violating the Malach of Hotzah. The Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Nosen Adam Chavetz L'Chavero. And then we get to the position Rabbi Yehuda, which is where we are beginning this morning. The position Rabbi Yehuda, I'm just reviewing the Mishnah, the position Rabbi Yehuda is, Nosen Adam Chavetz L'Chavero, a person can give a barrel to his friend, V'Chaver L'Chavero, and again, create that fireman's ladder, Afilu Chutz L'Tchom, even to go outside Tchom. Okay, now that's innovative and a bit of a chiddush, meaning where the Gemara quoted Rabbi Shimon about making the fireman's ladder, where you're having one person pass it to another, that's so that each person doesn't go more than four amos in a Rishos HaRabim. Fine. But what Rabbi Yehuda is suggesting is, let's take the same fireman's ladder and let's now go outside of Tchum. So to which the Amru Lo, they say to him, to Rabbi Yehuda, slow down. Lo talachu yosem miragle ba'ala. You can't do that, meaning that once the object has got an owner, and the owner is circumscribed within a certain tchum, so the object is circumscribed within a certain tchum. So I don't care if you have a lot of people involved in transporting the item, you can create a fireman's ladder. But the item cannot go beyond its boundary of tchum, just like the owner of the item cannot go beyond the boundary of tchum, and so the chachamim get the last word in the Mishnah. Okay, that's the end of the Mishnah, going all the way back to the beginning of the Perek, and now we're on Tzadi Zayin Amud Beis, we're on 97b, We are about halfway down in the Amud, a little bit less than that, and we're starting with the Gemara's analysis of this last point of Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda, Menosen Adam Chavis. The Gemara's question is very straightforward, meaning, Rabbi Yehuda, what are you thinking? So Rabbi Yehuda, Leislei Rabbi Yehuda, Had Nana Behema Vakelman Karagle Habalim. It's a Mishnah in Beitza, and the Mishnah basically lays down the rules. Just like you have a Tchum, all your Kalim have a Tchum as well. So any item that's owned by you is going to be circumscribed within your Tchum. So, that's a Mishnah, the Stam Mishnah, in Masechta Beitza. And so the Gemara's question is very simple. Rav Yehuda, you don't seem to be holding like that. So, Amri Shlokish Mishum Levi Salva, Hacha B'mayiskin. And so the Gemara now is going to try to offer a number of explanations in terms of how we're going to understand Rav Yehuda. Because the truth of the matter is that the onus, the burden of explanations on Rav Yehuda. Because the Chachamim and our Mishnah basically say it, the Mishnah and Beitza basically says it, an item cannot be taken outside of neither Shabbos nor Yom Tov. By the way, Tchum applies to both, right? We've gone over that many times. An item cannot be taken outside of Tchum, neither in Shabbos nor in Yom Tov, beyond where its owner can go. So how do you understand Rav Yehuda's position over here? So the Gemara is, first explanation, B'ma'aran mechavis achavis. So explanation number one, offered to us by Reish Lakish in the name of Levi, and that is, as an item cannot be taken out, I'm sorry, we're not talking about the barrel. You're right. If the barrel were to be taken out, were to be passed, the barrel cannot go beyond Tchum. That's very straightforward. What we're describing over here is not the barrel, but rather the water. It's the water that's being transported. Rav Yehuda l'tam adam ramayim ein by mamish. And the Gemara notes that Rav Yehuda over here is consistent with Rav Yehuda's position in Masechta Beitza, which we're going to see in just a moment, which is water. Water ain't bal mamish. Water doesn't is not really significant, and because water is not significant, so therefore water can be transported outside tchum. Did none, and how do I know this? Rav Yehuda poter b'mayim imneshein b'mayim mamish. We have a Mishnah in Beitza, and the Mishnah in Beitza says Rav Yehuda exempts water because ain't b'mayim mamish, because there's nothing to it. Now let me explain this Mishnah in Beitza a little bit better so that you understand the context of what's going on in this Mishnah. Mishnah in Beitza is basically describing the following scenario. Now again, the rule is very simple and pretty clear cut, that any item you own can only go where you can go. So if you own food or kalim, so it's bound by your tchum. Okay, now let's go over the following scenario. Let's say I want to make bread. On Yontif, you're allowed to bake bread. So let's say I want to make bread on Yontif, so, but I have flour, I'm missing water. All right, so I go to my neighbor and I say to my neighbor, look, I got the flour, can I borrow water from you? Okay, your neighbor gives you water. Now let's say, just for the purposes of understanding this idea, that you and your neighbor don't have the same tchum. Now if you're living in the same city, it's obviously, there's nothing much to talk about, you and him have the same tchum. But let's say you and your neighbor don't share the same tchum. However that case can be constructed. Now, so here you have bread, which is a composite of your flour and your neighbor's water. So now, what becomes of this bread? Interestingly enough, this bread that you just baked on Yontif is now going to have two sets of tchum. It's going to have the flour tchum and the water tchum. And that means now that the bread cannot go anywhere beyond where the flour could go, or anywhere beyond where the water can go. Right? It makes sense. It's, you know, once you got the basic guidelines, it does make sense. What Rav Yehuda in that Mishnah says is, don't worry about the water. That's where Rav Yehuda says, don't worry about the water. And basically, now that I gave you the context of what that case is, now it's not exactly similar to our scenario. Over here, we're talking about a barrel of water. And what we're doing is we're pouring the water from one barrel to another, and what the Gemara is trying to invoke is, well, just like Rav Yehuda over there in that Mishnah Beitza says, don't worry about the water, here too Rav Yehuda would say the same thing, don't worry about the water. But if you follow the two cases, you realize they're not exactly the same. In fact, when you add water to flour to make bread, once you have the bread, the water kind of disappears. Now, I know, and you know, that the water is still there, but it's no longer recognizable. So it's not exactly the same, and the Gemara is going to now comment on how it's not exactly the same. The Gemara says, "Mimeshein by mamish umaylo tehalach zu lo yehalach mashe bezu yoser miragle habalim." Yeah, you're right. Okay, ema deshamal Rav Yehuda echadabliim beisa. Now the Gemara makes exactly this point. Yes, it's true. Rav Yehuda did say, "Don't worry about the water," but that's when it's absorbed in the dough. And the water is no longer recognizable. But if you see the water, is Rav Yehuda going to just simply dismiss the water if you could see it? In fact, we know better. I'm sorry, lo batle be'inayu batle. In fact, right over there in that same Gemara in Beitza, the Gemara notes a discrepancy. Not a discrepancy, but a distinction. If we're talking about bread and the water's in the bread, so then Rav Yehuda dismisses the water. But let's say it's a stew, or any dish which is liquid. Rav Yehuda says the provider of the water for that dish, for that soup, you can't dismiss the liquid. You see it, you're looking right at it. Detanya Rav Yehuda Omer Maimo Melech Betelem Beisa. V'ein Betelem Bekedera Mipnei Rotva. In fact, the Mishnah in Beitza says that when is Rav Yehuda dismissive of the water? That's only when it's part of a dough. But if it's part of a liquid dish, a stew or soup, so then Rav Yehuda says, I can't dismiss it because it's wet, it's liquid. Over here, it's just water. No way Rav Yehuda would dismiss the water over here. Okay, so we're really back to square one. Let's reset the problem. The problem is that in our Mishnah, Rav Yehuda says that you could use a fireman's ladder and have the barrel of water be transported outside of Tchum. To which the Gemara asks, how can you do that? Rav Yehuda in the Mishnah in Beitza acknowledges that water cannot be transported beyond the tchum of its owner. So, again, problem there, problem not resolved. El amaravach bechavish shekanta shvisa umayim shelo kanu shvisa askinan de betela chavis legabe mayim. So now the Gemara is going to go with a second proposal. Okay, after rejecting it, I guess we can now call it the first proposal. So the Gemara says, well, maybe we're dealing with the following scenario. The barrel's owned by somebody. And you're right. And the barrel does have a tchum. The water inside is ownerless. How can you have ownerless water? Well, that's pretty straightforward. That's pretty easy. We've discussed this before. Let's say a Shabbos begins. It's running water. Running water that was not stationary does not acquire a makom shvisa, and so therefore the water doesn't have tchum. So now I have a barrel which has an owner, water which doesn't have an owner, the barrel's carrying the water, and now we're going to invoke a concept which we've seen already a number of times, and that is that the barrel becomes subordinate to the water. The barrel's basically just there to hold the water. So really the main component of the barrel with water is water, and the barrel is just there as a hechitimsa, just there to facilitate carrying the water. We've seen this idea already a number of times. The Gemara quotes the Mishnah. We learned in the Mishnah, Motzei Chai b'mita pater af al amita. Mimnesha amita tfeil alo. Let's say you carry somebody on Shabbos in a bed. Okay, now carrying a human being, that's chaynosei satsmo, that's not a violation of hotzam in da'araisa. Carrying him on the bed, what about the fact that you're carrying a bed also, it's a bed. So the Gemara says, yeah, but the bed's subordinate to the person. The bed is just a means of carrying the person. So therefore, I'm not going to be chai for carrying a person on a bed. Another example of this very same concept. Let's say I carry food, and I'm carrying food on a utensil. So I'm carrying food on a utensil, and let's say the food does not have the requisite shear. We've spent a couple prakim and Shabbos talking about how basically every food, in order to violate Shabbos, has to have a certain amount of food. Usually it's a grogerus. Sometimes it's not, but whatever the case is, there has to be a requisite amount. Let's say I carry a plate of food on Shabbos. The food doesn't have a requisite amount, so you're not going to be chayav. What about the plate? Once again, the idea is the plate becomes subordinate to the food. Mimnei she'akli tafel lo. So over here also, what we're going to argue is that the water did not have a makom shvisa. The barrel does have a makom shvisa, but the barrel is subordinate to the water. And that's why it can be transported outside of tchum. Okay. That is our second proposal of how to understand Rav Yehuda of our Mishnah. So the Gemara now notes, okay, but we have a Braisa, and this Braisa says Bishayara. Remember Shayara? We talked about that earlier in the Masechta. It means a caravan. It means that we are traveling, and we had to stop for Shabbos, and basically, it's not exactly the best Shabbos circumstance that we can imagine. So we're out in the middle of nowhere. So if you're Shayara, remember we talked about how to enclose the area of the Shayara, but obviously water becomes very important. So Bishayara, so if you're in a caravan circumstance, so then you could do fireman's ladder, which is Chaver lechaver v'chaver lechaver Bishayara. So the Gemara now makes a very simple read of this Braisa, Bishayara in Shalom Bishayara lo. So that means that this is limited only to a caravan, but if it's a non-caravan scenario, a regular Shabbos scenario, so then Rav Yehuda won't allow you to carry it. It's a little bit interesting. In other words, Gemara is bothered. Meaning, if you're right, and we're talking about ownerless water, so then what difference does it make whether we're with a caravan, whether we're not with a caravan? Shouldn't seem to make a difference. Elam Rav Yosef, ki tanan nami b'masisim b'shayari tanan. So Rav Yosef says, okay, so it's... Well, now that I know the Braisa, what I'm going to do is, when we learn our Mishnah, and Rav Yehuda in our Mishnah says that I could do fireman's ladder in order to transport water, our Mishnah is talking about a Shayara. I know you don't see that in our Mishnah, but now that I know the Braisa, so Rav Yosef says, I'll insert that into our Mishnah. Abai Amar b'Shayara afilo chavi shekanta shvisa umayim shekanta shvisa. Abai says, no, let's do it like this. That when Rav Yehuda was more relaxed by the Shayara, he's more relaxed over there, even if everything is owned. And everything has a makom shvisa. The water and barrel have a makom shvisa. Rav Yehuda still allows you to do fireman's ladder. And if it's shalom b'shayara, and if you're not in a caravan, meaning it's a regular Shabbos circumstance, everyone's living in a regular community, so then, chavish kanta shvisa, mayim shalom kanta shvisa. So then we can only do this technique of fireman's ladder to transport the barrel only if it's ownerless water. Okay. That is another way of understanding the Mishnah versus a Braisa. Rav Ashi Amar Hacha B'chavis Dehefkar Askinan. Rav Ashi says, perhaps we can attack our Mishnah from a totally different perspective. The barrel over here belongs to nobody. Umayim dehefker askinan. And the same thing is true regarding the water. So in other words, the whole problem emerged by the fact that we assume that the barrel and the water were owned, therefore are circumscribed, have a tchum. The Gemara now is arguing, Rav Ashi is arguing, no, the barrel and the water don't have an owner. Uman amru lo, and okay, good. And now that's the position of Rav Yehuda, which is now a simple understanding of our Mishnah. Meaning Rav Yehuda says, you could carry it as far as you want, using the fireman's ladder, even outside of tchum. Now it's funny, meaning even outside of tchum, truth be told, for the barrel and for the water, there is no tchum, because it's hefker, because it's ownerless. So good. So that's Rav Yehuda of our Mishnah. Now that you see that, now if Rav Ashi is right, so who is arguing? That's the Gemara's next question. Uman Amrulo, who's the Amrulo of our Mishnah? Who's the one who's dissenting, who's voicing dissent in our Mishnah? So the Gemara says, Rav Yochanan Urihi. But that Gemara says, we know the answer to that as well. Going back to what we learned halfway through the Masechta. Da'amar chefte hefker konim shvisa. Because Rav Yochanan Urihi is of the opinion that if you have chefte hefker, if you have ownerless items, so and you pick it up on Shabbos or on Yontif, they now are circumscribed within your tchum. Umay los alech zu yosem meragle abalim. Lo yahalchu elu yoser mikalim sheyesh lehem balim. And when the Mishnah says they can't go more than ragle habalim, the legs of its owners, what the Mishnah means by that is kalim sheyesh lehem balim, as kalim as if they can't go out more than kalim as if they had owners. Okay, good. So that's the pshat in our Mishnah. A quick summary. Okay, right, somewhat complex way of dissecting the last point of the Mishnah, but a quick summary. So again, we have this idea of our Mishnah that you can create a fireman's ladder in order to carry an item in a Rishus HaRabim so that nobody goes more than four Amas. And what Rav Yehuda did in our Mishnah is he extended that even to Tchum. I can create a fireman's ladder even to go beyond Tchum. To which the Gemara's question was, you're not allowed to go beyond Tchum, an item's not allowed to go beyond Tchum, beyond its owner. So the Gemara attacked this from a number of different perspectives. Either A, it's talking about where the water itself does not have a tchum, and the kli becomes bottled to the water. Or B, we're talking about a case where it's a shayara, where it's a caravan, and there's more leniency, more relaxation of the rules, because we're out in a shayara, because we're out in a caravan. Or C, maybe we're talking about a case where both the water and the barrel are ownerless, and therefore Rav Yehuda takes the majority position, which is that it has no, it's not circumscribed within any tchum. Okay. A number of ways of understanding Rav Yehuda. Okay. Next Mishnah, new topic. Right. In the 10th parak, by the way, every Mishnah is basically going to be a new topic. And I say new topic, still within the world of Shabbos and Erevin, but I told you, the 10th parak is kind of like miscellaneous laws. All right. You're correct. Okay, this Mishnah over here is going to be describing the following scenario. Now, back in the good old days, Rashi makes this point over here in our Mishnah. When you wanted to curl up with a good sefer on Shabbos, right? So you have to understand, back in the good old days, when you put out the printing press, what was that, the 14th century, 15th century? Okay, I'm showing off my unbelievable knowledge of history. So anyway, but in the good old days, however, all books were not printed. All books were written on a scroll. So if you wanted to sit down and curl up with a good sefer on Shabbos, so you'd be sitting down with a sefer Torah. I mean, that's basically how it would look. I mean, you know, to us, sefer Torah is limited to shul, you know, okay, kriyas Torah, but, in other words, that's how they used to do it. They have a scroll, and so very often, the scroll unrolls, right? My Megillah, which, God bless my Megillah. When I purchased my Megillah, I was insistent, I need a Megillah Sagra. Okay. It's nice. It's a nice Megillah. Don't get me wrong. The written by a good friend of mine. But a Megillah Sagra, what does that mean? For those of you who don't know, it means that the lines are no more than, each column is no more than 11 lines. All right. On another occasion, I'll explain why that is. But it doesn't matter. So anyway, so can you imagine now a Megillah where no column is greater than 11 lines? So that means now, in order to write the entire Megillah, so that means it's really long. So watch next time you watch me on Purim. So watch me struggle as I try as I try to unravel this Megillah. It's so long. So anyway, so the so back in the good old days, so you curled up with a good sefer. So that means that you were basically with a scroll. What would happen pretty regularly is that one of the ends of the scroll would just start unraveling. And so what our Mishnah here is going to deal with is that, can you bring it back to you? Meaning, let's say that part of the scroll actually unraveled into another rishus. Okay? You're still holding one end. So can I bring it back to me? Yes or no? So if we just left out every derabbanan and we just dealt with a din d'oraisa, which we're not going to do, obviously, but if we just isolated the din d'oraisa, what would the answer be?
Yeah, yeah.
Sure. Correct. Meaning, I'm holding on to one end. So min haTorah, it didn't land in another rishus because I'm still holding the end, the other end of the sefer. So of course I can roll back to me. But the Chachamim were very concerned because this is only true if I still hold on to it. But once I let go, and part of it's another rishus, so then rolling it back would mean that I'm transferring from one rishus to another rishus. So the what our Mishnah is going to be basically dealing with is, to what degree were the Chachamim goes there in this case where part of the scroll moved into another rishus? Okay. Now the Mishnah is going to be a little bit tricky because the ambiguity of the Mishnah is not very clear in terms of what exactly these cases are. So, but let's first get comfortable with the cases in the Mishnah, and then we're going to dissect each one of these cases in the Mishnah. The first case of the Mishnah, Ayikare, B'sefer Ali Skufa. You're on the threshold of the house. Threshold is like basically like a porch to the house, right? In the good old days, you see less of this here, in certainly in South Florida homes, but right in the South, you have this. It's very often, in other words, to the front door, down to the where the street is, you have a porch. And so basically that's what the iskufa is. The iskufa is some sort of porch in front of your house. So Ayakor b'sefer al iskufa, so you're on the front porch and you're reading the sefer. V'nizgagel ha-sefer mi-yado. And what happens is that one of the ends of the sefer rolls out of your hand. Golalo etzlo. So the Mishnah says, no problem, just roll it back. Okay? That's all the Mishnah says in case number one. Much to discuss, but let's move on to the second case, then we'll come back to the first case. Ha'ikar b'rosh hagag. Now let's say, instead of being on the iskufa, on the front porch, let's say you're on your rooftop. Remember, in the good old days, the rooftops basically was flat. And so, on Shabbos, instead of going to the front porch, you hang out on the roof. Get a little bit of sun. It's relaxing. And you're reading a sefer now on your roof. V'nizgalgal ha-sefer miyado. And the sefer falls out of your hand. Ashelo higia la'asara tfachim. Now, so if you can picture the scene, it's a great scene. So you're on the top of the roof, and you have a sefer, and now some of it's unraveled, and it's now like kind of hanging on the side of the building. Side of your building. Now, let's not make this building so high because, right, let's not make it over dramatic. But in other words, you're on the second floor, and it now is hanging, dangling from the side of the building. So the Mishnah says, "Actually, gila asar tefachim go la'atzlo." If the end, the hanging end of the sefer, is not within 10 tefachim of the ground, bring it back to you. Mishihi gila asar tefachim, but once it's gone into the airspace of 10 tefachim of the ground, hofcho al haksav. So now I can bring it back up, and the reason why I'm going to suggest now, although, again, there's much to discuss about this, is because once it's in the airspace of 10 tefachim, it's now in a rishus harabim. Yeah, you're right, and the Gemara is going to raise that very issue. It's not, but it's within 10 tefachim of the ground, and for the time being, let's just say it, even though Ben's right, but it's in a rishus harabim, therefore I can roll it back up to me. So what do I do? So let's say the letters are facing out. Flip it so that the letters are no longer facing out. Hovcho al haksav. Rav Yehuda Omer, afilo ein masuk ma'aretz ela kamalei machat, golalo etzlo. Rav Yehuda says, even if it's within a needle's airspace between the end of the sefer and the ground, right, literally hanging by a thread, if you will, so you can roll it back to you. That's the opinion of Rav Yehuda.
No love.
There's no lava. There's nothing, right. It's not touching the ground. Rabbi Shimon Omer, I feel about it. And Rabbi Shimon takes the most lenient position, which is It could be on the ground. Roll it back. Why? Mishum she'ein l'chadavar. Sorry. It's so she'ein l'chadavar mishum shvus omeid b'fnei kisvei hakodesh. And the reason why is because, look, it's kisvei hakodesh. Meaning, as we started off the whole discussion by pointing out, the at best what we're dealing with over here is an issur derabanan. But, in other words, you got to mitigate. It's an issur derabanan to roll it back to you. But on the other hand, what am I going to do? I'm going to leave the sefer out there exposed to the elements, or perhaps to somebody coming by. So, it's a sefer Torah, roll it back. Ein lecha davar mishum shvus. There's no issur derabanan that stands in the way of kisvei hakodesh. The preservation of kisvei hakodesh. Okay, so basically our Mishnah has two construct cases. Yes, correct. Okay. Now, well, there basically are two cases in the Mishnah. One is where I'm reading the Sefer on my porch, and the other one's where I'm on the rooftop. Okay, so as you know how the Gemara is, it's super organized, so we're going to go case by case. So let's go first back to the case of the porch. Ha'iskuf ha'echidami. The case of the porch, exactly what are we talking about? Ilei meiskuf ha'rishos ha'yachid, v'kama rishos ha'rabim, v'lo gazrin and dilman alfe v'asi le'esuyei. So the Gemara says, okay, so let's make the first suggestion. The porch itself is the rishos ha'yachid, meaning proper dimensions of rishos ha'yachid. So the porch is at least 4x4 wide, it's 10 tefachim high, so the porch that you're on right now is the rishos ha'yachid. And let's say the street that it rolled onto was a formal rishos ha'rabim. And that means then that basically, even though there is room to make a gzera over here, I could see a very easy gzera being made that if I wasn't holding one end, I'd be violating Issa Daraisa. So therefore, what the Chachamim should have done, or I could have envisioned what the Chachamim would have done, is said, well, even if I'm holding the end, don't roll it back, for fear that I may not hold the end and then roll it back. So that means then that the first case of the Mishnah, the case of the Iskufa, is where there's a potential Issur D'Oraisa, right, most likely a Gzera D'Rabbanan, and what's the viewpoint of our Mishnah? Kisvei HaKodesh. Roll it back. We're not worried about any type of Shvus, any type of Issur D'Rabbanan. That then means, who's the author of that first opinion of the Mishnah? It would then mean that the author is Rabbi Shimon, the same Rabbi Shimon that comes up at the very end of the Mishnah. That's fine, right? The analysis we're given so far is fine. It's just then that the Mishnah structurally is a little odd. The Mishnah comes then to basically go Rabbi Shimon, a whole bunch of Tanaim who are not Rabbi Shimon, and then Rabbi Shimon. The Gemara says it's a little bit odd. The Gemara says we're now in the very top of Tzadi Ches Amud Aleph, money. Who then is the author of that case of the Iskufa? Rabbi Shimon he. We're not worried about any Yisur D'Rabbanan when it comes to Kisvei HaKodesh. So the Gemara says, okay, Ema Seifa, Rabbi Yehuda, Amei Afilo, Ema Silk Menaret Salam Alochot, Golo Aslo. Rabbi Shimon, Amei Afilo, Baret Asma, Golo Aslo. So Reish of Seifa, Rabbi Shimon, Mitzias, Rabbi Yehuda. So here's the Gemara basically saying, the awkwardness of our Mishnah, where it's now Rabbi Shimon, then Rabbi Yehuda, and then back to Rabbi Shimon, I'm Rabbi Yehuda in Reisha V'Seif, Rabbi Shimon Tziyasa Rabbi Yehuda. So Rabbi Yehuda says, that, yeah, it's maybe a little bit strange, but that's fine. It's not a big deal. The first opinion of our Mishnah, the Iskufa case, is Rabbi Shimon, followed then by the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, followed then by Rabbi Shimon, that's fine. Rabba Amar Hacha B'Iskufa Hanidreses Askinan. Rabba says, no, let's give a whole different approach to our Mishnah. Our Mishnah is dealing with a specific type of porch. Yes, the porch is a Rishos HaYachid. We'll leave it like that. But there's also a lot of traffic. A Rishos HaYachid with a lot of traffic. And so what? Umishum bizayon kisvei hakodesh shari rabanan. And over here, in other words, normally there would be a gzera de rabanan, don't roll it back. But because it's a porch with a lot of traffic, so now, if I just left the Sefer Torah as it is very likely that it will be susceptible to degradation. Because it's so accessible to the public. And it's not like the case of the roof. The case of the roof, no one's hanging out with you on the roof. No one's walking on the side of the building. So they're less accessible to degradation. Here, very susceptible to degradation, and so therefore, that's why the opinion of the first opinion of our Mishnah is not limited to Rabbi Shimon, But everyone would agree that you can roll it back. So kisei kodesh rabbanon eitz ve'abayi tochta amos golot slo chutz dal hof cholaksav. So the gemara, so Abayi challenges based on a brisa. The brisa says there is a distinction. Again, the case is you're reading the sefer Torah on the porch, on the front porch, and what happens is that it falls, the one end falls out of your hand and rolls out into the street. So our mishnah says roll it back. The brisa says we haven't seen this brisa yet. It depends. If it rolled out less than 4 amos into the street, roll it back. If it rolled out more than 4 amos into the street, you can't roll it back.
Say 4 amos from the ground or 4 amos into the
street? Into. I believe it's into. So, Iyamard b'yiskufa nidresa saskina mali tochtala mali chosar ba'amos. Now, if you're right, that this is a iskufa where there's a lot of traffic, heavy traffic iskufa, what difference is it going to make how far into the street it went? Meaning, if we're worried about the degradation of the Sefer Torah, and at best we're talking about Nisr Durabanan, Gzeira Durabanan, bring it back. Even if it goes out more than 4 amas, I'm still holding one end of the Sefer Torah, so bring it back. So Abai is going to give us now a totally new way to look at the Iskufa, unlike the first two approaches of the Gemara, where it was a Rishus HaYachid, regular Rishus HaYachid going like Rabbi Shimon, Rishus HaYachid with a lot with heavy traffic, so everyone would agree. Abai says no. This is Kufa in question over here is a Karmelis. So in other words, it does not have the dimensions of Rishus HaYachid. It's 4x4, but it's not 10 tefachim high. Okay, so it's now Karmelis status. Over Rishus HaRabim over Safanaha, and Rishus HaRabim is in front of it. Okay, now it's going to make a lot more sense. It's a little trickier, but it's going to make a lot more sense. Meaning, look, Let's say I'm standing on the Iskufa, I'm reading my Sefer, part of it rolls out into the street. Okay. Let's even say I let go of the Iskufa, and now I pick it up and bring it back in. Am I violating an Issa D'Araisa? No. I carried something from a Rishus HaRabim to a Karmelis. That's an Issa D'Rabbanan. So now, if I'm holding the end of the Sefer and didn't let go, so there, I'm not even violating Issa D'Rabbanan. So at best, even if I let go, that would only be a violation of Issa D'Rabbanan. Fine. If it rolls out beyond 4 amos, and now I let go, right now I'm carrying something more than 4 amos in a Rishus HaRabim. So if I didn't let go, but there the rabbis made a gzera for fear that I let go. So in other words, the distinction of the brisa works a lot better once you're assuming that the iskufa that you're standing on right now is a karmelis. Gemara is going to spell all this out. The iskufa karmelis haskin of Rishus HaRabim over Safanel tochta la'amos dinafal ma'isilei lo asili dechiv chatas sherele rabban. So if it was within four amos, where at best I'd be violating Issa D'Rabbanan, and I'm still holding with the end that I'm in the iskufa, so therefore I can roll it back. The rabbis made no such gezeira. Chosla arba amos, but if it's more than 4 amos, the imaisi lei asli dechiv chatos lo shari lei rabbanan. So there the rabbis did not permit. I hachi toch dal amos nami nigzer delma ma'ayel merishus rabim lerishus hayachid. So the Gemara says, yeah, but aren't we afraid about the following? Meaning, I'm on the porch right now. What's probably going to happen? I'm going to roll it up. I'm going to go inside the house. Shouldn't we be concerned that I'm going to pick it up in the Rishus HaRabim and bring it inside my house? So the Gemara says, and what are you going to argue? Yeah, you know, it's true. There is a possibility that I'm going to carry it from the street and walk into my house, but there's a Karmelis right in the middle. And doesn't the Karmelis break the action? The Gemara says, no, it won't break the action. We have seen the statement already a number of times, and that is that if I pick up an item and I carry it 4 amas, even if at one point in time it goes through a makom patur, the way Rashi describes it, I pick up an item and I bring it over 10 tefachim from the ground, and then I come back and I bring it back down into the 10 tefachim, either way, in other words, you traversed 4 amos and a Rishus HaRabim, and therefore you're going to be chayiv. Here too, if I go from a Rishus HaYachid to a Rishus HaRabim, even though there's an interposing karmelis in the middle, I'm going to be chayiv. So, hacha b'maiskin and b'eskufa rucha. So the Gemara says, well, maybe you could say over here that It's not only, it's not just that there's an interposing iskufa, which is a karmelus, but a really long one. So the Gemara says, "Adahach v'ach mitkar," and by the time you get into your house, you're going to remember, oh, wait a second, I can't do that. Meaning, I picked it up in the Rishus HaRabim, and by the time you walk into your house, you'll have remembered that you can't walk into your house because you just picked it up from Rishus HaRabim.
If he's going through a karmelus, right, what's the problem? He went from Rishus HaRabim to a karmelus. Nothing wrong there. And from Rishus,
yeah, but if he doesn't stop, if he doesn't stop in the karmelus,
but if he, I mean, you're assuming that he does stop.
Okay, so you're one step ahead of me, one step ahead of the Gemara. So the Gemara says that, look, the assumption, right, the assumption up until this point is he's not going to stop in the iskufa, and the Gemara says, how can he not stop? He's holding a sefer, right, the opportunity to learn from a sefer, learn Torah. Who's going to miss up on that opportunity? I love the way the Gemara assumes, you know, how holy a people we are. We are holy people. So how could you not stop and look at the sefer? You'll stop in the karmelus. So the Gemara says, okay, we're a holy people, and we're going to stop and read from the sefer. But maybe that happened in the Rishus HaRabim, and now we're satisfied our spiritual need of looking at the sefer, and now we'll just walk home. And we'll walk right through the karmelus, and we won't stop in the karmelus, and we'll now have traversed from a Rishus HaRabim to Rishus HaYachid. Hamani ben Azai hi damer malach al meidamin. So the Gemara over here invokes the ben Azai position, which is that every step you take is a new akira and a new anacha, even though you didn't physically stop. That means that according to ben Azai, you have now, even though not stopped in the karmelus, but you walked through the karmelus, and every step represents a new akira and a new hanacha. Actually, the other way around. New hanacha, new akira. So, right. V'dilma zarek lehu mizrak. So the Gemara says, yeah, but can't you be standing in the Rishus HaRabim and throw the sefer, right, you heard correctly, and throw the sefer over the karmelus into the house, da'am Rav Yochanan mo de benaze bezarek. And we know, even according to Ben Azai, once you throw, so that would be going four amas, and in this case, going from Rishus HaRabim to Rishus HaYachid. I kind of feel like we all knew where this was going to go. You can't do that. You can't throw Kisvei HaKodesh. Meaning, throwing a Sefer Torah is just simply, or any Sfarim, any Tanakh, any Sefer Tanakh, and I would say by extension any sefer, it's just simply out of the question. It's just not a way, not proper covered for a sefer, and so therefore you can't even create an ukimta, you can't even create a case scenario in which we would be throwing a sefer. Okay. Alright, that was a long run-on sentence, meaning, first case of our Mishnah, you're reading on the porch of front porch of your house, and it rolls out to the street so you can roll it back. So either could be talking about where your iskufa is the Rishus HaYachid, and you're rolling it back because the author of our Mishnah is Rabbi Shimon. That's one possibility. Another possibility is that the porch, the front porch, has a heavy traffic, and I'm really concerned of the degradation of the sefer. Therefore, everyone would agree roll it back. Or the last approach of the Gemara, the iskufa is a karmelus, and therefore, if it rolls down to the Rishus HaRabim, at worst, we're looking at an issur derabanan. And so the rabbis did not make an gzera, so therefore I could roll it back into my iskufa. Okay. Ad kan, that takes us through the first case of the Mishnah. And now, second case of the Mishnah, you're on the rooftop. And it falls out of your, one end of the scroll falls out of your hand on the rooftop. Hayikar b'rosh agag v'chule mishare, v'atanyi kosvei svarim tefillin mezuzos lo hitiru lehem la'afech yiriyah apaneha. Right? The suggestion of the Mishnah was that if it goes within 10 tefachim of the ground, and you can't roll back up, so just turn it over, flip it over. To which the Gemara says, really, you're allowed to do that? You're not allowed to do that. The kosvei sfarim tefillin umezuzos. That, right, quoting from Masechet Sofrim. Those who are writing, sefer Torah, tefillin mezuzos, stam, so you're not allowed to flip it over, for a very simple reason, because it's going to smudge, and you're going to lose the beautiful ksav. El paris al asabeged, and over there, what you're supposed to do, in other words, if you want to take a break, so you just simply take a cloth and you lay the cloth on top of it. but you can't put it. You can't flip it over. Hasam efsher hachalo efsher. And the Gemara says, okay, look, we're gonna. It's very simple. The Mishnah Masechet Sofrim, that's where you have a beged available. Our Mishnah, you have no beged available. Now, okay, Tosus doesn't agree with what I gave as Rashi's explanation. Tosus doesn't agree with Rashi's explanation. But anyway, either way, you just, in other words, you have nothing here available to put over the ksav. So, v'ilo apichika b'zayin kitzvei kosh tfei. And therefore, if I don't flip over the ksav, so then I'm going to be having ksav exposed to the elements, better to flip it over. Good. Hovcho ala ksav. And now the Gemara is going to ask the question which Ben asked in the Mishnah, and it's just, in other words, what did the Mishnah say? That I'm on the rooftop, it goes over the rooftop, and it doesn't land anywhere. But it's within 10 tefachim of the ground, I can't roll it back. The Gemara says, why not? Yes, it's in the airspace of a Rishus HaRabim. Let's even give you that. But it's not munach, so why can't I roll it back? The Gemara asked that question, mahalonach. Amarava b'kosa mashupa. So we're going to, again, give a number of approaches over here to this dilemma. Number one is Rava's approach, and that is, it is not a wall 90 degrees, at a 90 degree angle from the ground, perpendicular to the ground, but rather it's at an angle. Okay? It's, what's it called? It's a slanted wall. Just trying to think of a number of buildings that have slanted walls, but, okay, fine. It would, so Amalei Abayi b'mayukim to lemasisim because of Meshubba Mesefa. So the Gemara says, okay, so it's a slanted wall. So in other words, so it is leaning against the wall. So the Gemara says, why don't you read on in the Mishnah? Rav Yehuda Amar, afilo ena masulik min ha'aretz ela malachut golatlo. Now, Rav Yehuda's position is, even if it's a hair breadth of space between the scroll and the ground, you could roll it back up. Assume, again, once you give a case in the Mishnah, you have to be consistent. So if we're talking about a slanted wall, isn't it now lying down on the wall? So the Gemara says, the Gemara asked that very question. So, So the Gemara says, okay, what we're going to have to do is we're going to have to go over our Mishnah, but with an insertion into the Mishnah. And now we get to read the Mishnah in its full form. When does the Tana Kama say that you can't roll it back up? That's when it's a slanted wall. Aval. However, top of the next Amud, but if it's not a slanted wall, so the meaning it's just a regular perpendicular wall to the ground, so then, Sheena Meshupa, Lamala Mishlosha, Golatzlo, Lamata Mishlosha, Hofcho Alaksav. So now, it doesn't matter that it's in the airspace of Rishus HaRabim, that would be fine. You can roll it back up. However, once it's within 3 tefachim of the ground, so then you can't roll it back up anymore. Why? We know the answer. Once it's within 3 tefachim of the ground, so then we have the principle of Lavud, and then it's considered as if it's Munach al HaKarka. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Afilo Eina Masulik Menarz V'chulah, Debeina Nanach Agabe Mashu. So the Gemara says, and what's Rabbi Yehuda's position? Rabbi Yehuda's position is really easy. Rabbi Yehuda's position is that even the principle of Lavud doesn't make it Munach. Meaning, of course, he agrees to the whole concept of Lavud, but Lavud just simply closes gaps. Lavud doesn't make an item resting on the ground. So therefore, according to Rabbi Yehuda, even as long as it's not touching the ground, even though it's within 3 tefachim, you can roll it back. Good. Now, Rava made a statement. We saw the statement already a couple of times in Masechta Shabbos, that even within 3 tefachim, according to the Chachamim, who are the Chachamim, meaning Rashi gives us the context, Chachamim who argue with Rabbi Akiva, about the principle of kluta kemishahun chadamya, that even though something is in an airspace of an item, it's like it's resting. The Chachamim disagree. Rava says, toch shlosha l'rabban and starach hanacha, that 3 tefachim within the ground still needs a hanacha. What comes out now is that that statement of Rava seems to be actually a debate amongst our Tanayim and our Mishnah. Lema Kitana Amar Lishmaita Elakula Rav Yehuda V'chasur Mechzer Achi Kitani. So the Gemara now polishes up our Mishnah one more time and says, look, our Mishnah really all reflects the position of Rav Yehuda. And now, again, the Gemara is going to read the Mishnah as one flowing opinion. Wonderful. Rav Yehuda's in our Mishnah, the whole Mishnah is Rav Yehuda. Once the wall is perpendicular with the ground, and once the item is not actually resting on the ground, then you can always roll the item, the safer, back up to you, because in order to be considered resting on the ground, it actually has to be physically resting on the ground.
So with this slanted wall, the assumption is that since it's slanted, it's resting on the ground?
Yeah.
And you got to flip it up.
Yeah.
But the thing is that even though you're still holding the other end, it's still not settled.
Correct. In other words, again, we have to go back to the Daraisa standpoint. From the Daraisa standpoint, once I'm holding the end, so then it's with me, even though on the other end might be in another Rishus. But again, though, the concern is I may let go and then roll it back up. So that's why, really, all this discussion is all based on Gzeira Derabanan. Min HaTorah, it would have been okay.
That's the only first time that it
will. Right. And again, and then remember, and Rabbi Shimon's viewpoint is that if it's Kisvei HaKodesh, so then he wouldn't subscribe to any Din Derabanan, although it does not seem like we fall like Rabbi Shimon, that we're so unilaterally ready to give up on Isuri Derabanan, even for Kisvei Kodesh.
But nowadays, with the books that are the way they are, they're on the scroll, so if it falls off from the porch,
so then it totally landed in another area, and then you wouldn't be able to bring it back. Okay, we have a couple minutes. Let's try to do this next Mishnah. Okay, again, every Mishnah, kind of new topic, new setting, new set of circumstances. Ledges in front of your window. Okay? Ziz shelifnei chalon. So I have a ledge in front of my window, so it's a sill, but not a sill going into the inside of the house, a sill going to the outside of the house. Fine, so what does the Mishnah say? No son of love and no limimina b'shabbos. It's a simple Mishnah. It's very straightforward. So what's with the sill? It's fine. Meaning that I'm in my house, I could take any item I want and put it on the sill. By the way, the windows, they didn't have window panes, right? The windows were just basically cutting the door. How'd you close the window? Shutters. But okay, like the good old days.
Isn't that obvious?
All right, so right, Danny, right on. So that seems to be a pretty straightforward point. So Haizis the mafik lahecha, ilim the mafik l'rishus rabim lechush dil manafav asi l'suyei. So the Gemara says, well, what's the sill over right now? If it's over rishus rabim, so the Gemara says once again, I can easily envision exera derabanan, which is that what's going to happen is that the item's going to fall onto the ground, and now I'm going to pick it up and bring it back into my house through the window. Problem is, I just carried from a rishus rabim to rishus yachin. And lechus demanafa vasila suya el ella demapik l'rishus yachin. So the sill's over another rishus yachin, and so now our Mishnah is basically saying, if my windowsill is over rishus yachin, so I can put items on the windowsill. Now, Danny, we get to ask your question with an exclamation point. Pshita. Okay, good. Now, where's the chiddush in our Mishnah? So the Gemara says, well, it could be, this is going to be approach number one, that it's over Rishus HaRabim. What can I put on the windowsill? Things that are easily break. And so therefore, the rabbis did not make such a gzera. Now I know it's a little bit strange, by the way, because generally speaking, we have this concept of low plug. There's no differentiation, there's no distinction, either you can or you can't. Over here, however, we're going to make the following distinction. If it's delicate and fragile items, I could put that on the sill, even though the sill is over the Rishus HaRabim. If they're not delicate items, I cannot put it on the sill. Now, there are two dots in our Gemara, by the way. If, like, we could, we should erase those two dots. They don't belong here, because the Gemara now is going to fortify this point. Tanya Me'achi, we learned this in the Brice as well. Zishul Efnei Achalan, Yosel Rishus HaRabim. Noson Lav Karos, Vekosos, Kitonios, Vitzluchios, Umishamish Bechol HaKosel Ad Asara Tachtonim. So we quote a brisa, and the first half of the brisa perfect, meaning it accentuates the point that Abaye just made, which is your glasses and your delicate dishes, Those you could put out in the sill, that's not a problem, because if they fall out into the Rishus HaRabim, they're going to break, and I'm not going to carry from a Rishus HaRabim into the Rishus HaYachid. Second half of the Braisa, a little bit challenging. First of all, what's the case of the second half of the Braisa? I have one sill, and I have a sill below that. So the second half of the Braisa says that the upper sill, meaning the one that's opposite your window, if you have a picture book or if you have pictures, you'll see it pretty clearly. Okay? Picture number 345. Just a couple days away from finishing. At least in picture terminology. Okay, picture 345. So I have one sill and I have another sill below it. So the second half of the braisa says the sill that's opposite your window, the upper sill, I can only use the portion that actually runs with the actual space of the window. So the first half of the braisa was great. What are we doing with that second half of the braisa? Hai ziz hechi dami. So if the entire sill is less than 4x4, so that's called a makam pater. And you shouldn't use it at all. In other words, it's not a useful space. You shouldn't use it at all. And if it's 4x4, so why not use the entirety of the sill? Why in the second half of the braisa are we only limited to using the sill that's opposite the window? So the Gemara says on this last case, the lower sill, the one below, is 4x4, and the upper one is not. V'chalon mashlimo ledalid. And what happens now is that because it is flush against your window, so therefore window plus sill equals 4x4. So keneged chalon mishtamish, techori chalon hu. So therefore, the area opposite the window you could use because that's considered an extension of the window. And so therefore that would be fine. But the haigisa asar. But the parts of the sill that go outside the window, that's not considered chorei chalon, and that's why you cannot use the areas to the side. Okay? So basically, again, our Mishnah says that if I have a window with a window sill, so I could use the window sill to move items over there. What's the chiddush? Chiddush is, explains the Gemara, window sills over Rishus HaRabim. Aren't we afraid that the item's going to fall into the Rishus HaRabim? I'm going to pick it up and transfer from Rishus HaRabim to Rishus HaYachid. Answer, says the Gemara, you're only allowed to place over there delicate kalim, or if they fall to the Rishus HaRabim, they're going to break. Okay, that finishes up our two Mishnahs today. We wrapped up the first Mishnah of our Perek about creating the fireman's ladder to go outside of Tchum. We gave three possibilities of how exactly that would work. Then we went on to discuss a Mishnah of reading the Sefer on your front porch, reading the Sefer while on the rooftop, gave a number of explanations of how each of those cases work, and finally the usage of the windowsill, which the Mishnah says you could use, and the Chiddush is even though it's right over a Rishus HaRabim. Okay, we'll stop over here. Tomorrow we pick it up with the new Mishnah on Shabbos.